Got two more weeks to go here with our Psalms 23 series. So if you will turn to Psalm 23. Now, if you've been doing your homework, you should know the first four verses by heart. We probably had a pretty good start on it before we even started this series, but if you've been doing your homework, you've been memorizing each one of these verses each week, picking it up in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." Does he restore your soul? "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are on week 5 of our sermon series, Sheepish, Life Lessons from Psalms 23. This week, as I said, we're going to take a look at verse 5 and how the shepherd provides abundance. The shepherd provides abundance. In the verse 5, again, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." So we're going to be looking at that verse a little closer today. Before we do that, you know how anything that's if it's big, I mean, if it's something that's really big, like a sports team, you know, we got the Eagles and the Cougars and the Bulldogs, and we got the Cowboys, and we got the A&M Aggies. We got some are not even deserving of a mascot, but we got, you know, anything that's deserving, that's big, it needs a mascot. And I think our youth have recognized that. Come on up, youth, show us what you got here. I've inspired the youth with this sermon series. The presentation of the official mascot. You hold it up there where everybody can see it there. Now, I think we need to name the mascot. What do you think? I was thinking like something like Q-tip or something. What do you think? Q-tip? No, you don't like who?
Cotton Ball.
Cotton Ball? Let's vote on a name for the mascot. Now, why don't you guys set it right there on the edge of our rail? And can we, huh? Bessie's, okay, submit your requests. All right, so the youth, thanks youth. I'm glad that you've been inspired. You can, unless you want to preach, you can go ahead. It's amazing the things that are found when you're cleaning out Ryan Goodwin's garage, right, Jordan? I don't know. A girl must have won that for him when he was younger or something. I don't know. So y'all think of a name for our mascot. We're going to look, nobody's going to be looking at me the rest of the day. They're going to be looking at this stupid sheep. Can y'all see the sheep? Did y'all see the sheep? Who said that? It's got hair. What do you think? It cuts down on the glare of the camera anyway. Well, I don't know. Stay. He is well behaved anyway. We're going to look at verse 5 if anybody is still got anyone's attention. Verse 5, and we're going to look at four different points that I believe that that God is trying to teach us. The first is, we have an enemy. Now, I think this is so vital to us as Christian, as believers in Jesus Christ. I think Hollywood has done a disservice to scriptural truth in this fact, because they've sensationalized with all of these goofy movies and stuff about Satan and evil things and all that. But I just want you to understand, it's if you believe in God's Word, I mean, if you believe that God has really spoken in His Word, then you need to understand that there is a devil. And it's not a cosmic force out there, you know, that when we stomp our toe or something, that, you know, just the bad luck. I mean, we have an enemy. David is speaking very specifically here. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, we too many times we think that other people are our enemies. Did you know that's not biblical? It's just not biblical. God's Word tells us in Ephesians 6 that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Hello, did you think your struggle was against flesh and blood? And probably some names and some faces are popping into your head. I thought it was against him. I thought my struggle was against my mean boss or whoever is popping into your mind. No, Scripture tells us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There are, we have an enemy, and it's the devil, and he has his demons that are out to get us. We need to understand that, church. I know that scares some of us to death to even think that, because we begin to talk in things of the spiritual realm rather than the physical realm. We're much more comfortable dealing in the physical realm, aren't we? We just are, because that's what we can see and feel and touch and know about. But I'm telling you, we have an enemy. Sheep, David is writing this from a perspective of a shepherd, having been a shepherd in his youth. And did you know, I talked last week how sheep are vulnerable to predators. And I talked last week about how the eagles will watch for these mountain sheep, and the ones that get close to the edge, they swoop down, and they don't have to kill them. They just swoop down and grab a hold of their little fuzzy thing, and then just one little nudge, and down the mountain they go, and they are now no longer sheep. They're dinner. They're prey. So these sheep had enemies. There's a thing I'm learning. Lynn, I'm learning more about sheep than I ever wanted to know. I'm telling you, through this series. They have this thing called nasal flies. You ever had a case of nasal? Not you personally, Lynn, but I mean.
No, I haven't had a case.
Okay. Personally or professionally, either one. All right, we'll move on. Nasal flies is one of sheep's certain times of the year. You know how around here we know it's time for the flies and the mosquitoes to come out. You know, it starts warming up and we just know it's that time of year. Well, sheep have the same thing, and the insect population begins to grow, and they have this little pest called a nasal fly, and it gets up. It's just what it says. It gets up in their nasal cavities. It's kind of gross, but they hatch their eggs up in there, and they burrow into up into the brain, and they can cause all sorts of problems, including and up to death in these sheep. And the sheep know that it's coming, and the sheep get very agitated. They will actually, they'll stomp, they will shake their head, they will literally can bang their head against trees and rocks to try to get the flies away from them. They're constantly agitated. Do you know what the remedy, especially in the Old Testament, when David wrote this psalm, do you know what the remedy was? Oil. They anointed their head with oil, so to speak. In the Old Testament, From what I've read, there was a mixture of olive oil and sulfur and spices, and that was the remedy. And they would put this on the head of the sheep to protect them from all sorts of insects and pests, but specifically the dreaded nasal fly. So the sheep had this enemy, and God's word tells us that our battle is not against flesh and blood. 1 Peter tells us that to be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, so there it is again, it's all throughout God's word. Your enemy, not old so-and-so, your enemy the devil. So if we believe in God's word, then we must understand we have an enemy, church. And he's very real. Your enemy the devil, what does he do? He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. How does he devour us? I mean, it's generally speaking, not like Hollywood. I'm not wiping out the more supernatural type attack. But I mean, generally speaking, I believe Satan attacks us through thoughts. It's not 100% of the time, but I believe many times it's thoughts like, I deserve better than her. How dare her treat me like that? I deserve better. In fact, she's better than her. Or, I hope he gets what he deserves. I hope he gets what he deserves, and if it doesn't come natural, I may just help. I mean, all of these thoughts that come into our mind that where just subtle little things like, hey, that looks fun. And typing away on the internet and did you know, you see that these porn sites, you don't have to necessarily make a decision to go to these inappropriate sites. They're seeking you out. I've been typing along just absolutely innocent. And the stuff that's flashed on my screen, I can't even say it up here. I know many of you've had the same things. They seek you out, just like kind of like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. Almost sounds, well, I've read that somewhere. Because see, if we go to that site, then the devil begins to put things in our mind that shouldn't be there. And the old saying is, you are what you eat. If you're putting it into your mind, suddenly it begins to affect your behavior. I'm telling you, we have an enemy, church. David's talking about it here. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Jesus told Simon, Simon was going to deny that he even knew this man three times. He said, Simon, Satan has that, again, Satan, not, ooh, evil, this, ooh, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, Simon. That's what Jesus said to Simon. He's asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. Did you know that Jesus prays for you? Golly, man, have you ever thought about that? He didn't just pray for Simon, he prays for us. He's interceding for us. The Holy Spirit is interceding for us to the Father. And you've heard me talk about this book, this Philip Keller that wrote this book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Listen to this quote as he's talking about his experience in being a shepherd to sheep. He says, at all times, we would be wise to walk a little closer to Christ. It was always the distant sheep. Hello, and I want you to put your name in there for you. I want you to personalize it. You're the sheep as I read this. It was always the distant sheep, the roamers, the wanderers, which were picked off by the predators in an unsuspecting moment. Hello. Are you the distant sheep? The roamer? Are you a wanderer? Do you just come to church ever so often because mom said that you probably should do that to be a good Christian? Do you are you in God's Word at least once a year? Or are you writing His Word on your heart? He says, at all times, we would be wise to walk a little closer to Christ. Because, see, the safety of the flock came from the shepherd. We have an enemy. But number two, he has been defeated. Hello. We have a defeated foe attacking us. You know, I picture this in my mind. I picture this grand battle. It was World War II. I love history. It's just something I enjoy learning about. Or the Civil War or something. And you have this battle one of the sides is just, they're defeated. They know they're going down. And for them to have that mentality, it's like, well, guys, I can just see the general walking up. Guys, it's over with. But let's take as many of them with us as we can take. That's what's going on in the spiritual realm. We have a defeated foe that comes against us. But he just wants to take as many of us out as he can. You probably, if you're like me, as we've been reading this passage, and it's in all the metaphor is all about being a shepherd and flock and all that. And suddenly, in verse 5, it seems like he changes that metaphor a little bit to some kind of banquet or something. He says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Well, I want to talk about that just a second. Anybody ever heard of a mesa? It's like, when we backpack, that's a long story, I won't get into that, but when I first learned to backpack, a friend pastor of mine was taking us, and he was like, taking us forever. He said, we'll be there any minute, you know, and about 6 hours later, we were dog tired, and he kept saying, see that mesa right up there? See, right up over that mesa, that's where our campground's going to be. And we called it, his name was Craig Curry. Many of you know Craig. And I've teased him over the years. We started calling it he said, it's just another mile right up there over that mesa. And we started calling it, that's a Curry mile. I mean, we want to know a real mile. And so, but mesa is this kind of higher plane. We talked about that some last week. You know what the mesa means? Come on. Somebody can speak Spanish. What does mesa mean, brother? It means table. Hello. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. It's as if God himself has gone before us, and he has prepared this higher ground for us where there's rich pasture. We talked about that last week. The shepherd, in back to the shepherd analogy, he prepares that table, that mesa. He goes before the sheep. He will literally he will go and scope out the trails, and he's looking for danger, and he's looking for water and all of the necessities of life as he's planning his trip to take certain times of the year to take his flock up to the higher ground, to the mesa. And he scopes out the path. He checks for poisonous plants, and if he finds them, he eliminates those. He watches for predators, and he checks for clean watering holes, and all of these things. Well, Jesus has prepared the table for us. He has gone before us. And once a month, we might even call it the Lord's table. That meal that we partake of once a month, do you think he's prepared anything through that meal? You see, God himself, our good shepherd, became flesh. He's gone before us. He became flesh. He's been tempted in every way that we have, Scripture tells us. And yet, he was without sin. He's prepared a way for us. He's known our sufferings. He's experienced our sorrows. He's endured our struggles in this life. There's nothing that any of us have gone through that Jesus himself has not already encountered and conquered. He's prepared a table for us. In fact, he's even overcome death itself, our greatest enemy. Man, that excites me, guys, to know that Jesus has gone before. He's gone before us. So the enemy is defeated. We have an enemy. He's defeated. And we have received the Holy Spirit. We have received the Holy Spirit. God's word tells us that that Jesus said before he left this earth, he said, and I prayed it just a little while ago, it was on my heart, that I will not leave you as orphans. He wasn't leaving us and abandoning us. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come. This scripture, this, you anoint my head with oil. Oil symbolizes the Holy Spirit. It symbolizes a consecration, a setting apart for special purposes. Jesus said in John 16, he says, I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And we know that that happened that Pentecost morning in Acts chapter 2. We understand that Pentecost came, which was that coming of the Holy Spirit to live in us, not to just be hanging out and around us, and sometimes he's there, sometimes, but to live in us. When we accept Christ and we're baptized and we ask for the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, ask. Just ask. And I'll send him, and he'll live with you, and he will be in you. This Holy Spirit. Again, this idea of anointing, this anointing with your head with oil. There was another reason. I want to. This is kind of even nasty. There's a condition called scab. See, I told you. Am I impressing you yet, Lynn? Lynn's a vet, so I mean, I'm trying to. This is all about Lynn. I want to impress him over there. There's a condition called scab, and it's caused by a little insect. I guess you'd call it. It's called scab mite, and the scab mite, again, it gets on the sheep, and it's transmitted by touch. And sheep like to come and rub heads against one another and kind of cuddle. If you Q-tip likes to cuddle, and so they like to touch one another, and that's the way that this condition, this scab, is transmitted from side to side. And I want to show you what a scab mite does to a sheep. That is a sheep, and it's nasty, isn't it? As I saw that picture this week, I saw God's people. Many of God's people that look like that on the inside. And I see it. I see it, broken people just hurting and in need of the Holy Spirit. In this need of having their head anointed with oil. This covering of the Holy Spirit. Show that picture again, Carlton. You ever felt like that on the inside? Maybe you feel like that on the inside this morning. Thank you. David said, my good shepherd anoints my head with oil. He protects me from those kinds of attacks. The fourth thing we learn from this verse today, I believe, is since we have the Holy Spirit, we don't have to live like that on the inside anymore. We can live in abundance. And I've quoted this scripture a hundred times since I've been the pastor here. It's one of my favorite scriptures, John 10:10. Remember that, John 10:10. Say it with me, John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief, who's the thief? Satan is the thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He likes it when we look like that on the inside, church. That gives him great pleasure to see us eaten up from the inside out. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, to the full. Listen to this passage out of Isaiah, and this is part of the passage that Christ, that he quoted as he was launching his ministry, but this was written hundreds of years before Christ was born, and it says, the Lord has anointed me, in Isaiah 61, the Lord has anointed me to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Are you living an abundant life, church? I mean, struggles happen, and we go through valleys, and we go through hard times, but I'm talking about generally, as a rule, God ought to be oozing out of us. Man, and I tell people one of the greatest cures, and I'll use that word very specifically, one of the greatest cures for depression is praise. I mean, you try it. If you struggle with depression, you begin to praise God. Just any old goofy song that you know, something you maybe learned when you were in the first grade. Just start praising God. Read His Word. Read through the Psalms where the psalmist is praising God. Begin to read the Psalms and begin to praise God and see if your spirit is not lifted. Jesus quoted this passage. The Lord has anointed me to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. That's Wednesday night. And Lynn talked about our Ash Wednesday service. That's the symbolism of the ash. Is that we come to God in our brokenness. We come with a repentant heart. We come as broken and wounded people to a holy Savior. And He wants to restore us. It doesn't give Him joy when we look like that on the inside, when we look like that picture. It grieves Him greatly because that's not why He came. He came to give us abundant life. Are you living an abundant life, church? I mean, is your life exuding God? Do you live in a way that people know that the table, you're aware the table has been already prepared for you? That Christ has gone before you and He's taken on all of this stuff that we try to carry? And Billy also mentioned this passage of that to take Christ's yoke upon us because His burden is light. Does your cup run over with this oil of gladness? Or are we stuck in this ashes, this life of ashes and mourning? I want to challenge you again, church. I believe I've heard from more of you that have been stirred by this series than probably I've ever heard before. I don't know what it is, but something is, I think God is tapping into something in us through this study of Psalm 23. If you've missed the passages, the sermons in the past, I ask you to consider getting on the internet and hearing them, or getting one of our DVDs and hearing those from that. This week, well, once again, I want to encourage you to memorize verse 5. And along the way, keep going back over verse 1 through 4. When this is over, I want us to be able to recite this psalm without any overheads, without having God's word in our lap. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And then I want you to consider doing two things. To begin each day, this week, just try it for 7 days. To begin each day asking the Holy Spirit to anoint you with His presence. And I know that some of you don't even completely understand what that means. But what it means is it means saying, Holy Spirit, just, I don't know what the heck Jeff's talking about, but I want that. I don't know what he's talking about, but I want that. Would you come and do that in me? It's that simple. You don't have to have this great theological training or anything like that. We just have to be a needy people falling on our face before a holy God. Say, I want some of that. Ask the Holy Spirit to anoint you with His presence each day. And I want you to begin a cup runs over list. How many of you saw the movie Bucket List? Pretty good movie. Pretty good movie. But they were assimilating these a list of things they wanted to do before they died in this movie. And I want you to begin a list of a cup runs over list. In what ways has God abundantly blessed you? In what ways, maybe it's, I've heard from people before, and I hope this is you. If it's not, we need to do better. But I've heard people talk about when they come into our worship service, I've heard people say, I don't know what it is. I just start crying before we even start. And usually the crying is after they've heard my sermon, they cry, or sometimes even in the middle of it. But a lot of times they don't wait for the sermon. They just come in before we even start firing up the music or anything. They say, I feel emotional. And I love that, because you know what that is? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit anointing our time together, anointing this place and saying, I don't want you to look like that picture on the overhead. I don't want you to be broken and all jacked up on the inside. I want you to be whole. I want you to be well. I want you to have abundance. So write those two things as well as verse 5, if you'd pray with me. Well, Father, I for one am thankful for the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful that you are the victor over our enemy. I'm thankful that our enemy comes against us as a defeated foe. I'm thankful, Father, that in you our cup runs over. Father, I pray a healing on everyone that's hearing my voice right now. Just a healing from the inside out. And if there's anyone here this morning that looks like that picture on the inside, God, just anoint them. Protect them, cover them, heal them, make them whole. Father, we need you. And we lift your name high. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we close this morning. I will be down front if you would like to visit with me or pray with me about accepting Christ or about our church or just having me pray with you, anything at all, I will be up front. Our altar rail is open as well. Come.
For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. For all that you've promised and all that you are is all that.
I thank you, and
Go and let your cup runneth over. And go and share that and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
I wonder so aimless, I feel the same. I wouldn't